Hi, I'm Michelle Sawatsky-Coop, and here we are again. Time for another Heroes in Our Midst story. Seems it's been a while. So today, we're talking hockey. But the game alone is not what makes Danny Zhilkin a hero. It's the path he has journeyed to get to where he is today that does that. Now, Danny's hockey story is far from over. In fact, the kid's only 19 years old. He was selected by the Winnipeg Jets in the third round of the 2022 NHL Draft, 77th overall. And he is set to lace up the skates with the Manitoba Moose this season. So what's the story? Where did this young man get his start? And what part did hockey play in it all? I caught up with him over Zoom and asked him.
Yeah, so I was born in Moscow, Russia. I was playing hockey there until about 9 years old. I first started on the ice when I was 4 years old, and I used to absolutely hate it, actually. My parents told me that I used to cry every time I went for probably like the first year. So, and then after that, it kind of became my life. My parents pushed me and pushed me towards, you know, because my dad played hockey actually when he was younger, but he didn't make it as far. So it's his dream to kind of raise a hockey player, and I think it's going pretty well so far. But yeah, I moved to Toronto, Canada at the age of 9. I was turning 10. I was here for a camp for 2 weeks. My parents took me to a camp, and a coach saw me. He just asked me to play the following year. So it's pretty crazy how that worked out. So we moved to Toronto. We were, you know, we rented a place here, and I played for a GTHL team here in the youth hockey organization. I also have a sister. She's 23 now. She's at University of Ottawa. And my little brother, he is 14. He is going into his Ontario Hockey League draft year.
Wow. So the whole family moved. Did they move here so you could play hockey? Was that the main catalyst
basically,
for the move?
Yeah, that's it.
Wow. Did you understand back then, like, kind of what a big deal that was?
No, obviously not. You're so young, right? So you don't really, you know, there's no pressure really. And now it's kind of like, you know, setting in that, you know, they sold everything there and now we're just living here. So it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy. Moscow to Canada is a big, big change. Do you remember the move though? Were you excited about it? You obviously, it's always bittersweet. You leave friends and maybe at that age, you don't really get the advantages of moving and that kind of thing. What was that like for you?
Yeah, to be honest, I think it was very easy for me because I was so young. Mm-hmm. But if it was at the age like right now, it would be super hard, obviously, because your whole basically like, you know, your whole life is there and all your friends and you're going to school and, you know, university at my age now and stuff like that. So, yeah, it was pretty easy. But the hardest thing was probably just the language. I knew zero English when I came over here, which is, yeah, now I'm fluent in both. So that's pretty cool.
That's amazing. You don't sound like you have any trouble at all. In fact, you don't even have a strong accent.
Yeah, it's weird. I can like switch my accents too when I speak Russian to my parents and English awesome. To my friends. So yeah.
Well, that's a great advantage. Okay. So Danny, continue on your story. So where were we at here? You moved here 9-10, you started playing youth hockey. Lead us on.
Yeah. So I played youth hockey for several different teams. And then at the age of 15 in my OHL draft year, I was playing for the Toronto Marlboros in Toronto. My head coach was Paul Coffey, actually the legendary defenseman, which is pretty awesome. And at the age of 15, I got called to play for Team Ontario at the Canada Winter Games. It was in Red Deer, Alberta in February, so it was quite chilly there. We won silver medals. It was a nationally televised event as well. It was in front of, you know, hundreds of thousands watching, and it was a packed 12,000-plus rink, so it was kind of awesome. At the age of 15, it felt pretty surreal.
Yeah, Canada Games is so cool. I think there are some things about, like, multi-sport games, right? It's just like nothing else, hey?
Yeah, it was awesome. Just, you know, we kind of lived with all the other athletes. So you get to interact with everyone else. And we traded pins. I have actually pins somewhere from, you know, other provinces as well, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. So you're 15 then?
I was 15, yes. And then at the end of that season, I got drafted to the Guelph Storm in the first round of the Ontario Hockey League draft. That was kind of, you know, the first really event where kind of my career started to take off. I kind of started to understand, like, you know, this is something that could work out and kind of become a career, right? So, and then I played my first season there. In the middle of that season, I got called my first time to play for Team Canada. It was the under 17 World Challenge. I believe it was in Alberta. I think it was in Calgary, I believe. We actually came eighth place. There was three Canadian teams. We came three Canadians and then other international teams. We came last place, actually, despite we actually had the best team. We had Shane Wright, who was you probably heard of Shane Wright. He was exceptional status. We had Brent Othman and, you know, other first round NHL picks now. So kind of weird how we came last place, but it just didn't work out. So, and then obviously the COVID year happened. So my first OHL season ended in COVID. So they got shut down. I think March 13th was the last game we played. And then the next day they told us they're shutting everything down. You got to go home. And what we thought would be, you know, a couple of weeks or a month, it turned into a year and then over a year. And we just didn't get to play any hockey. So, which was, you know, the rinks were all shut down and everything. So it was obviously super hard, and super hard mentally as well. When you're going, you know, your first OHL season, you're doing great, and then everything just kind of shuts down, which is obviously pretty weird. And then I got a call in May, I think 2021 it was, and right in the middle of the COVID outbreak, I got called to play for U18's Team Canada at the World Championship in Frisco, Texas, where we did win gold. It was a nationally televised event on TSN as well, which was pretty awesome. And then we finally got to play hockey. It was my third season with the Guelph Storm, but it was actually my second because of COVID, obviously. So after that season, I had a great year. I was an assistant captain on the Guelph Storm. It was my NHL draft year, which was pretty stressful, obviously. And, you know, you're trying to become a hockey player. And, you know, at the age of 18, you're going through an NHL, you know, your dream basically is on the line. So I got obviously drafted to the Winnipeg Jets, which was a surreal moment. I don't remember, actually. I kind of blacked out when my name got called. So
really?
Yeah, well, you don't really, some of these things you don't remember. It's like, you know, sometimes when you score a goal, you just kind of black out and your celebration kind of takes over, and then you see the goal after and it's like completely different. So,
you know, it's interesting because we often wonder what it's like when we're watching the draft, because we all watch it. And as a parent, sort of, you know, wanted certain things for my kids, and I watch, you know, boys like you at such a young age go through that. We wonder what those moments are like for you. Now we know what some people go through.
Yeah, it's you just black out. Like every time I score a goal, it doesn't matter what kind of goal it is.
Yeah.
You just kind of black out. And then for like the next 30 seconds, you don't really know what's going on. It's just automatic. Your brain kind of just like functions on its own. It's pretty cool how that works.
I do want to ask you something before we go back. I want to go back to the draft though, for sure. But I want to ask you about COVID leading into that world championship that you win. So did you do any hockey in that year, like in COVID? How did you get on the ice? Did you associate? How could you manage that? And man, just maybe talk to us a little bit about what it was like from a young athlete's perspective, kind of in your prime.
Yeah, it was super hard, obviously. For the first, I think, I don't quite remember, but probably 4 or 5 months, there was no ice at all. So all the rinks were closed down. We were able to get out on the outdoor rinks on some lakes that were frozen in the winter, obviously. But yeah, it was super hard. Like there was basically no ice. I know other rinks in Europe were starting to open up way before we did. So leading to that, we had no team practices, nothing. We just had Zoom calls with Team Canada. We had workouts with, you know, strength coaches online and stuff like that. But other teams were already skating and doing their stuff in person, right? So we got to Frisco, Texas. We had two team practices. And then we had an opener game against Sweden that we won 12-2 after two team practices. That's it.
Amazing.
And Sweden is one of the best hockey teams. So it's...
Yeah. That was cool. So when you got to play at this World Championships, it must have been such a treat. Like it must have been, because there were still a lot of sports not going on and not happening. And you guys were sort of the lucky few that got to actually be in a competition. I remember watching, thinking that.
Yeah, we had a bubble like the NHL did. So we were it was a very nice hotel in downtown Dallas, I think. So Frisco is just outside of Dallas. So we're downtown Dallas, super nice hotel. And we weren't allowed to leave our floor. So we could only be, every team had a floor and we could only, you know, hang out with our team, obviously, because if one guy gets sick and so on. So yeah, we got meals delivered to us on our floor and then we had to go grab it. It was super weird. If you wanted to Uber Eats, you have to like type in a note to the driver. They would leave it outside the door. The hotel staff would pick it up and then send it up in an elevator and you just grab it from the elevator, which is super weird.
So no person to person. You know, it's almost hard to remember that this happened to all of us.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy now. You know, everyone's just kind of going about it like nothing happened. So.
Yeah, but it is good to talk a little bit about it because it affected a lot of people. And I think a lot of young people, exactly your age, really got hit at a really important time in your life, developmental time. But obviously there was great reward in playing at this tournament.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. You know, all the scouts went to the tournament. So everybody saw, like, we got lucky. We got exposure. The people who got selected for the team, but other kids who didn't get selected never got exposure. And that's why some people didn't get drafted too. Mm-hmm. I'm a late birthday, so it wasn't my draft year. My draft year was the next year. So I got lucky with that as well.
Okay. So I know you blacked out when you got chosen, but just sitting there going through that, knowing you were going to be, how soon do you know? I mean, obviously it's not like a total shocker that you're in the mix, but you know, how does that actually work for a young hockey player like you that's good enough to be drafted into the NHL?
Well, the first time I told you that my first, right after the OHL draft, I kind of found out that, you know, I thought to myself, this could be a career possibly. Mm-hmm. And then at the beginning of the draft year, my third, what would have been the third, if not COVID year, the NHL rankings got released for the upcoming draft. And I was ranked in the first round. I was like, whoa, like this is surreal. Obviously, I'm like, this can actually happen. So I didn't have the best year. I had a good year, but it wasn't to the best of my ability. So I kind of dropped in the draft. I remember sitting there. I still thought I would, you know, maybe slip in the second round and maybe end of first. You know, anything can happen, right? So I was sitting there on night one and I was being optimistic, but it was super nerve wracking just to, you know, sit there and then you see all your friends get drafted and, you know, you're kind of mad at yourself that you didn't, you know, work hard enough or you just didn't do this, didn't do that, right? So second night, I was sitting through the whole second round. It was like an hour. You're still sitting there. You're seeing all your, you know, more and more of your friends go up from, you know, your teammates and stuff. And it's obviously, you know, it was hard. And then the Winnipeg Jets announced my name. I heard from the Guelph Storm. And then I kind of just blacked out. I remember getting up, hugging my mom, who was to the left of me. And then after that, I don't remember anything until I put the jersey. No, not until it was the media. I kind of realized I was like, whoa, like I'm actually wearing an NHL jersey. So it was pretty awesome.
That is so awesome. So awesome. And does that sort of erase the long wait? Just knowing your name was picked and you're, you know, you're part of an organization now.
Yeah, of course. I think you realize that everybody still goes to the same camp. Everybody's still even kind of, it doesn't really matter where you get drafted or, you know, what round or whatever, what pick you get drafted. So it's, I kind of understood that later on and, you know, I'm now signed to the Winnipeg Jets, which is obviously was the goal. And now the goal is to crack the roster.
Yeah, exactly. Explain a little bit to those who maybe are, you know, they're sports fans, they might be listening, but they don't quite understand how that works. Like I think sometimes we watch the draft, we go, oh, we're going to see him next year in a Jets jersey and he'll be playing. And then all of a sudden we don't see these young guys, right? So tell us how that works.
Yeah, so I could have played another year in the OHL. So I went down for another year, which most people do. And then I had a great year with the Guelph Storm in December of, it was this past season. So in December, I got traded to the Kitchener Rangers in hopes of trying to win a cup. We had a great team there. I think we had 8 signed NHL players. So it was pretty awesome. We swept the first seed. We had, you know, our team didn't do the best in regular season. I came late and the team, we were kind of struggling despite having such a great roster. And we swept the first place seed in the playoffs, which was history. It was the first time that it's ever happened in the OHL, which was kind of cool. So at the end of that season, I got called up to, we lost in the second round, unfortunately, to the London Knights, but I got called up to the Manitoba Moose, the NHL Jets affiliate. I was kind of there just hanging around the team. They unfortunately lost in the first round to Milwaukee, which is Nashville's team. They had an unbelievable team there. So it was kind of, it was a hard series. And then I attended, you know, Winnipeg Jets development camp. And then now hopefully I'll be with the Manitoba Moose this season. And then, you know, next year, hopefully crack an NHL roster.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a journey. Hey, no matter what, when you get drafted, it's, you know, I think it's good for young athletes to hear that too. It's still a journey. Even once you crack the roster, it's still a journey, right? You're always proving yourself and there's always pressure to do that. And so how do you deal with that? Like sort of mentally now when you're in that spot, I mean, you said you play for the Manitoba Moose and you just still pushing and pushing, you know, how do you deal with that?
I think the biggest thing is just finding the motivation within yourself, right? If this is something you want to do and if this is your passion, I think you'll have no problem having that, you know, motivation to succeed. And, you know, the goal, I always say my goal is not only to play in the NHL, I want to win the Stanley Cup, which is the ultimate goal. I saw the Tampa Bay Lightning when they were playing Montreal Canadiens. I was at game 5, I believe it was, when they won the Stanley Cup, and just seeing the cup out there, it was, you know, something I'll never forget. It's just a moment that, like, you kind of think to yourself, this could be you one day, and then, you know, you could achieve your goal one day and this could be you. So it was pretty special for sure.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, if you don't dream it, you don't think it's part of your, if you don't think it can be a part of your journey, it probably won't be. So,
of course, yeah.
So we'll be watching for that. So now you sit here and you're still working and you're journeying every day. And we talked a little bit about the pressure of, you know, the draft. And we talked a little bit about, you know, having to move from another country, which fortunately you were young enough to kind of go with the flow on that one. The pressure of sitting and waiting in the draft. I mean, man, like, you're flying now and you seem so calm about all of it. And you seem like this is part of your journey step by step, but I know that there's some real emotions in all of that. And you have a real mental health. I don't know if you have a mental health story, but you're really interested in the mental health walk for athletes and all of that. And where has that been born for you, Danny?
We actually opened a mental health foundation called Chilkin's Vision in August. I believe it was August 30th, 2022, right after the draft, a month after the draft. So it's a foundation that destigmatizes mental health in not only hockey, but sports in general. It's kind of a platform where athletes can have a safe space to kind of speak out. And we, you know, promote several resources for athletes as well on that page, on our Instagram page. So it's been a great journey so far. And I don't really have, you know, that one mental health story that kind of brought a spark to that mental health organization. My girlfriend she just graduated from Boston University with her master's in sports psychology, and she's going to James Madison for her PhD in sports psychology. So she's going to be a licensed sports psychologist, which is awesome. So, and, you know, me being a professional athlete now, we kind of thought it would be, you know, something that we could start and promote mental health. So it's been going great so far.
Yeah, no kidding. And so, I mean, and obviously you must see it around you, and you've lived through COVID. So you've obviously seen how difficult it can be. So she's going to be the brains behind the operation.
Basically, yeah.
I'm just giving her a little shout out there. What's her name? Tell us her name.
Her name is Lauren Shaw. She's from Burlington, Ontario.
What do you hope for this foundation and for this whole thing moving forward? Like, what's your dream for this foundation?
Yeah, well, the goal is to, we always have a donation fund where we could fund athletes or, you know, young athletes that can't afford mental health sessions. I think that would be pretty special and something we could definitely achieve moving on forward. But obviously mental health sessions are quite expensive. They could go upwards of $200, $300, maybe even dollars, which is pretty crazy to think about for athletes at, you know, the age of 15. I was representing Team Ontario at Canada Winter Games, where hundreds of thousands of people are watching you, and you don't have really mental health resources available. So that would be definitely the goal.
Yeah, I love that. Mental side of your game, how much does that play a part? Maybe even for those listening that are hockey players and want to walk the path that you are walking, you know, any advice, any sort of a rhythm for you on how sports psychology fits in with how great you've become at this game?
Well, I think being a professional athlete, it's every single day, nonstop. I think, you know, everybody gets affected by mental health, every single person. It's basically minute to minute, your brain can think one thing or another thing, and your mental health is up and down. It's the same with athletes, especially hockey players. Every shift is up and down, every single shift. So you can have a bad shift, you're coming off the ice, and you're saying, you know, you're saying to yourself, am I good enough after that play? Or, you know, just lacking confidence, or just, you know, if something's not going great, you're obviously going to be down in yourself. And, you know, I hold myself to a very high standard because, you know, I like things perfect, and I obviously want to be perfect in every way. I think everybody does, but it's just life, and I don't think anybody can. So the biggest thing is just, you know, be confident in yourself. I think when I'm confident, I play my best hockey. So just being confident, I think, has been a huge part of my game.
Yeah. Seeing hockey in Canada, maybe delving a little bit away from the mental health side, just on the hockey journey, what would be your advice for parents listening, maybe, or a young hockey player? What should they do? Everyone gets advice. You should play year round. You should go in this camp. You should go in that camp. I mean, heck, your family moved like around the world, you know, and what a great opportunity you had. And it's been so positive for you. What would be your advice for a kid getting into hockey and the path that you've walked so far?
I think there's a few. I think the biggest thing, I think, is passion. I think if you love the game, and it leads to motivation. If you love the game, you'll have the motivation. I think that's the biggest thing. Another thing is just to stay focused. You know, you have that goal of, for me, winning the Stanley Cup. I look beyond playing in the NHL, right? So I think when I get to NHL, it would be, you know, hopefully I could achieve that dream one day. It would be super cool, but I don't want to stop there. You want to keep pushing further. So I think the biggest thing is always, you know, dream further of where you think you can achieve. I don't know, you know, just kind of look further always and keep pushing yourself and have the passion and motivation to kind of succeed.
I like that. Don't just stop there. Yeah, because we all know we're not going to play sports like till we're 80.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, you might play sports, but you're not going to play in the NHL till you're 80. Once you get there, Danny, once you get there.
Yeah.
Now, looking beyond you and your story, what about the game in general? You know, what do you see as the, you know, the struggles of hockey? What's kept you in it? I mean, we, of course, you know, you hear negative things about everything in life, and hockey's had a bit of a tough go lately. And, you know, what do you think is happening? What do you see happening? What do you think needs to happen at the, I don't know, organizational level to create change?
I think it's gotten better in a lot of different aspects. I think mental health is a huge one. I already touched on being 15 and not having any mental health resources at Team Ontario Canada Winter Games, right? So I think mental health, they've been, you know, the NHL even has been doing a great job of promoting it, and the Winnipeg Jets as well. I was at development camp. We had several, you know, mental health seminars where we learned about mental health, and they kind of were promoting that. So another thing I think is diversity. I think obviously, you know, I wouldn't, you know, the stuff going on overseas right now with Team Russia, and, you know, they can't really play in international events. Obviously, you know, I see where they're coming from, but I think if, you know, they're just hockey players, right? They don't have anything to do with what's going on. So I don't, it's tough not to see them play, especially being from there. So I would say diversity is another thing for sure.
What has the impact been of coaches on you, maybe positively, negatively, looking at your career?
Yeah, I think there's a few things as well. You know, I had very, very tough coaches growing up in Russia. They kind of, you know, they're super hard on you. My first coach at the age of four was actually Pavel Bure's coach. I don't know if you've heard of him. He's a Hall of Famer. So that's awesome. And, you know, he still sometimes, I think a couple times a year, he texts me because, you know, I was one of the few people who kind of broke through and into the hockey world now from that team. So I think, you know, there's all sorts of different coaches. I think you have to respect every coach. So I can't really touch on, you know, there's a lot of coaches that brought something to me. So I think if you're going into every practice with an open mindset, I think there could be only benefits from coaches.
I love that. So not just assuming that a coach being tough on you is not a positive.
Of course. He actually told us, if I don't scream at you, that means, you know, I've given up on you. And other coaches say that as well. So
yeah. For sure. And what impact does a coach that you connect with, or that's positive, or what is the impact of coaches that get it right?
Well, it's the mental health again. They can, you know, it could be a person that just supports you, another person in your close support circle that can kind of motivate you in hard times, or, you know, it's another kind of helping hand, another person that you can reach out to. And, you know, Paul Coffey as well. I've kept sort of in touch with him. Obviously, his, you know, I'm not going to bother his, you know, Hall of Fame and his schedule kind of that he has. And, you know, but sometimes I text him happy birthday on his birthday, and he replies. That's obviously, it feels great to me, obviously. So I think it's just another helping hand and somebody you can lean towards.
Yeah. Helping hand, someone you can lead towards. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. It becomes your village, right? Like the village in your life that raises you, really.
Of course. Actually, I think Adam Fantilli on his jacket, he had It Takes a Village, and he had all the names that impacted his career on his draft jacket. I think, I don't know if you've seen that or not, but
no.
that was pretty cool, I thought.
Yeah,
it was just this past draft when he went up to the stage, he took off his jacket, and on the back it said It Takes a Village and all the names that impacted his career.
Awesome. So now, when do you find out? Do you know for sure you're with the Manitoba Moose? How do you find out? How does that work? You know, what are you doing right now? That kind of thing.
Well, you don't really find out until you get there. So now I'm just training 5 times a week. I'm in the gym 5 times a week, and I skate 3 times right now.
Oh, so you're putting in your time. You're not going to leave any stone unturned. I believe that. How will you approach that camp? I think a lot of people wonder. I mean, with all that unknown, you know, how do you go into that?
Well, it goes back to confidence. As I said, I think you're playing against NHL superstars. You're on the ice with, you know, Mark Scheifele and Blake Wheeler, but, you know, he's departed now. But yeah, it's like, at first you can be kind of starstruck and kind of, you know, maybe scared in such a way, but just have the confidence, you know, you're out there for a reason and you're with all these NHL guys by your side. You can kind of lean towards them for help as well. And, you know, they're super last camp. They were super approachable, and there wasn't really any, you know, diversity in older guys or kind of younger guys. They were all kind of together. So it was awesome to see.
That's so cool. Well, we certainly wish you all the best with that. And, you never know, right? Sky's the limit.
Yeah,
You
of
never know
course.
when that path's going to turn
Yeah.
to that. If someone wants to check out, you know, your work, you said Jilkins Foundation, is that, am I saying that right?
It's Jilkins Vision on Instagram and then jilkinsvision.com on the internet.
Jilkins Vision, can you spell that for me?
Zhilkin, and then vision, as you would say, vision.
Right on. Right on. Great. I'm hoping a lot of people go and check that out. I think there's going to be some valuable stuff there. And I love that you're doing that. I think that's amazing. And
Thank you.
So cool that you found someone to partner with in obviously in life, but
yeah,
also,
of course.
also in this pretty important, no, I'm not going to say pretty, in this really important part
super
of sport.
Important topic,
for
of
sure.
course.
Love it. Let's do some rapid fire questions.
Sure.
Before I let you go. All right. You are 100 years old. What is the story you most love to tell?
Oh my God. Well, I hope it's still hasn't had that story yet, but hopefully it's winning the Stanley Cup, as I said. But for now, I think just moving to Canada, you know, just being able to move and not speaking the language and sharing that with my family.
Yeah. I think you're the youngest person maybe on our podcast that I've had to ask that question to.
Yeah, I hope it's still to come.
I'm sure it is. There's a lot of good things coming for you yet. Who or what do you think people see when they see you? And is there something different you wish they would see?
Well, people say hockey players are scary and not approachable at first, especially if the people don't come from sports. So I think, you know, I think it's the other way. I think hockey players are quite goofy and, you know, super approachable people. So if you want to talk, I'm always here.
That's awesome. What is something people would be surprised to know about you?
Well, not everybody knew that I came from Russia, actually, especially at, you know, at the Winnipeg Jets camp. People were actually surprised that I was Russian born. So I would say I'm Russian born, and I moved to Canada at the age of 9.
What exhausts you?
I would say probably schoolwork, but I don't do any anymore. So I'm pretty lucky, but nothing. I wouldn't say anything right now. I just, you know, my day is I go to the gym and it's something I love to do. So there's motivation there and doesn't really exhaust me. It's just, you know, to make me better. And then I come home kind of, you know, either hang out with my friends or play some video games and then go to bed pretty early. So I wouldn't say anything right now.
That's good. Good answer for a 19-year-old.
Yeah.
Okay. What energizes you?
I would say my passion. I have a lock screen actually of a Stanley Cup. So every time I look at it, I think that would be something that energizes me, is my goal.
Love it. What was a moment of intense joy that you have experienced in your life?
Getting drafted to the Winnipeg Jets. Obviously, super exciting time, and getting to put on that jersey and, you know, live my dream is pretty awesome.
Who are two or three people who have influenced your life, and how did they impact it?
Pretty cliche, but my parents for sure. And, you know, moving me over to a different continent was something that not many, you know, parents can do for their kids. And obviously it's super special and I owe it to them. And hopefully, you know, not only achieving my goal, but their dream as well of having a son play in the NHL.
I need to ask you this. What do you think you need to do to crack an NHL lineup? You're young, but you've seen a lot. You've seen the guys who have made it. You've watched it happen right next to you, I'm sure. What do you need to do?
Just stay focused. I think that's the biggest thing. I know where my, you know, what my goals are and what I need to work on. So just putting in the work every single day and, you know, dreaming beyond your beliefs, right? Just kind of dreaming of that Stanley Cup every single day and, you know, just keep being motivated and passionate about what I do and just keep going.
And obviously you've gotten to a certain point of skill and a certain point of being able to play the game at the level that you are already playing it, to be able to rely on that and trust in that. What do you think is the best part of your game?
I think my speed and my versatility for sure, just being able to play in any and all positions. I can play penalty kill or power play, and I can be a shutdown or an offensive guy as well. I think two-way forward is my, you know, my kind of strength.
Cool. Last question. I know it's easy to love something you're good at, but you talk about your passion for hockey. You're willing to, I mean, the numbers of times you've talked about being on the ice now and working out and all this stuff. So you have to love it to do that. What do you love? What is it about the game of hockey that is exactly where you want to be?
Well, I would say just the joy of, you know, when you're playing in front of thousands of people. I think the first time I experienced that was in Red Deer, I think, actually, in Alberta at the Canada Winter Games, where in the finals, you're coming out of in front of 12,000 people and people are just cheering for you every time you score a goal. And, you know, when I was playing in the Guelph, for the Guelph Storm. My first game, actually, I scored in my first shift on my first ever shot. So that was pretty special. It was a sold out crowd, and they won the last year, so it was banner raising night. So that was awesome to do that in my first shift ever.
Right on. Everyone thought your coach was a genius. Pick the right guy. You know what, Danny, this has been such a pleasure. It's a pleasure to meet you. Such a well-spoken young man you are. And wow, you know, already having goals and dreams beyond sport, I think is maybe one of the things that surprised me today. Because often when you chat with a young guy who's got NHL in his sights, right? I think that's so important. And probably, I'm thinking might be one of the reasons you make it all the way. So
thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
Right on. All the best. This has been a pleasure. And now I can say I know Danny Jilkin.
Yeah, thank you very much.
And that is hockey player Danny Jilkin, a young man who knows how to dream, not only because he has a picture of the Stanley Cup as the screensaver on his phone, but because he knows the hard work it's going to take to get there. Add to that his dedication to destigmatize and prioritize mental and emotional help in sports through his foundation, Jilkin's Vision. Danny's on his way to making a difference in one way or another. Thank you, Danny, for it all. Not the least of which, we thank you for your time that you've given us today to share your story and your vision for the future. Keep your eyes on this hero, my friends. I have a feeling we might have him back when he's added a whole lot to his story. I'm Michelle Sawatsky. Thanks for stopping by and listening to this episode of Heroes in Our Midst. And remember, there are so many more incredible stories exactly where you found this one. So enjoy and be inspired. We'll talk to you again soon.